I can almost smell mom's chestnut dressing baking in the oven right now. We're talking a Garfield Christmas special. Hit it. It was 1987. The special envoy of the Archbishop of Canterbury in Lebanon was kidnapped in Beirut. Bangle watches were in. Karate Kid action figures averaged $11.99. And Garfield and John headed to the farm for a wonderful family Christmas. I'm your host, Jerry D., with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest. You'll know him as a host of the Bodacious A Cozy Christmas podcast, Art Kilmer. Art, how's it going?
It's going really well, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, and thanks for suggesting this one. This is a really good one.
Oh, this is one of my favorite specials. And I mean, I've been a Garfield fan for, honestly, as long as I can remember. So this is a treat.
Right on. What is it about Garfield in particular that just you really like?
Well, I guess several things. I liked his sense of humor. You know, I like that relationship with Garfield and Odie. It's like a brother relationship. I can identify with that. You know, I found out later he was created in, well, the first comic strip was in 1978, and that's the year I was born in.
Nice.
So, I mean, we both like lasagna. We're like, he's my...
he's your spirit animal.
Yeah, he's my Patronus, yeah.
There you go. I love it. Oh, man, but I keep thinking about how much... And I mentioned this because I covered this special kind of before. It was on episode 17 with Glenn Warren, the host of Seasons Eatings, where we mostly talked about the food. And we got a little bit into the special, but not really. And so I can't wait to really dig into the special with you here. But I did mention on that one, and I got to say it again, because every time I watch it, I'm reminded of it, just how much John has to spend probably on lasagnas.
yeah
definitely something that oh man, that's an expense there.
Yeah, he's probably going to the bank and getting a loan or something.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
Another loan, okay.
Yeah, for what? Lasagnas. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Maybe I'm getting old now, but I can't imagine the cholesterol that cat has.
Oh, I know. Well, in the have you seen the Thanksgiving episode?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in that one, he has like a checkup, and the vet makes sure to mention that, you know, he's getting a little chubby there, and
aren't we all?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially this year when we're all staying home, but yeah. So you know, he goes and she makes him go on a diet, and so you're right. There's something I can't even imagine what is.
I guess we have to suspend disbelief for a while, and
that's true. Yeah,
enjoy it. Yeah,
for a lot of these, we kind of do. So, might as well. Yeah,
might as well. Yep.
Did you get to see this one when it first aired?
I think it was, like you said, 1987.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been about 9, and I don't remember like watching it the first time. I just remember watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I saw it when it first came out or later. I do know I had the like the comic book version of it.
Nice. You
know, they would make those based on the specials. I had that, and I would read that thing to death. I mean, it was falling apart.
Well, I think there was a few differences too from the comic book to the actual show.
Yeah, there might have been. And I haven't seen that book in decades now. So
right, yeah.
I have no idea where my copy ended up, but But I was just thinking tonight, I was rewatching it tonight and thought, I need to see if I can find a copy of that now and get some Garfield back in my life.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a great special. It's very heartwarming. And just everything about it it's fun. It's funny. But yeah, in that comic book, there's a scene, I think, where Garfield tries to give Odie away to John's parents as a Christmas present. let's see. I know John tries to help out his dad and Doc Boy with, I think, baling hay. And then there's a scene where Odie's having trouble finishing the present to Garfield. And so Garfield kind of sneakily helps him a little bit. So,
okay, that would explain why the last couple of years I've watched it, I kept thinking that there was more to it, the special. Like,
exactly. Because
wasn't there more to this?
Yeah, there was. Because you're right. There was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I believe in the original broadcast version, because there's like the 1991 version is a version that's most popular.
Mm-hmm.
They added a couple of scenes and took out a couple of scenes and changed a few things. I mean, even redoing some of the animation. But like in the original version, it didn't have Doc Boy and Grandma playing the piano like when it first aired in 87. So that was added in, or it was actually cut, and then they added it back in the 91 version. I think there was even the shot of Grandma and her late husband in the picture frame. I think that was added back in. Okay. And that was done with like lighting. So in the original version, you actually didn't see the picture frame. It was just like Grandma talking about it, and you just assume. But I guess they made it more evident by adding it in. And again, that's another just really heartfelt moment there that, I mean, it gets you, as they say, right in the feels, you know?
Yep. I was going to mention, maybe I should mention it later when we get to that part of the movie, but that's one of those scenes where when I was a kid, I thought that was boring, the boring part.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, I'm trying not to cry as I watch this.
That's exactly
right. I understand it now.
Yes, for sure. It's definitely the best part, I think, of the whole special. Most heartfelt. It's the most endearing, and it's powerful. But you're right. I remember younger, just like, when's Garfield going to do something funny with Odie?
Right. Kick him off the table again.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man. So I guess we should just get right into it.
All right.
Special. It's only about 24 minutes long. And if we kind of wanted to nutshell it, then I'd say that Garfield and Odie and John drive to John's farm that he grew up in to celebrate Christmas. That would be the basic plot of the film. Of course, that's leaving out a lot of stuff, so we'll go ahead and get into that.
A lot of good stuff, yeah.
But it opens up with Garfield being woken up by John, who's dressed like an elf. And it's a dream sequence, but we don't know at this point that it's a dream sequence. He wakes him up, and he's wearing that green elf costume, which always makes me laugh as soon as I see it.
Yes. I mean, he's such a nerd, and it suits him. You know, if somebody else wore that, you would think it's ridiculous, but it works for him, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. And is it bad that I can picture both of us actually wearing that costume?
I'm thinking, where can I get that costume?
Yeah.
I want that.
So he wakes Garfield up, and, you know, Garfield's kind of cranky because he's being woken up. And so he lures him to the tree with lasagnas. And there's a ton of these lasagnas. He just keeps handing them out, and Garfield scarfs them down.
And he uses one of my favorite lines of the movie, you may eat your way to the tree.
Yeah.
Yes. That's especially as a teenager, man, that was Christmas
for real. Yeah.
I'm gonna eat my way to the tree.
Oh man, I know. There's we went through because we would normally open presents and everything before we would eat, but whenever we'd leave everything there, and then we'd go have breakfast, and then we'd kind of go to my grandparents' house. So I remember driving, you know, kind of like the way John and Garfield and Odie drove. I remember driving because it was about an hour away. And as soon as we would get there, it was pretty much time for lunch. And so at that point, we would basically eat our weight in food. And then eventually we'd exchange presents with my grandma and aunts and uncles and stuff. But
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that you're right. It was definitely very familiar there, but I love it because he gets him to the tree and he's like, I have your present. And he brings it on like a forklift and he drops it down.
Yes. Yes. Garfield's eyes are just like, yes.
That's right. He's like, oh, I like the look of this. And so he opens it up and he's a little confused. And John's like, this is the best present ever. It's the present that keeps on giving. And it turns out that it reads your mind. And so it's like a Santa looking device, like a chair. And his hat comes down on top of your head and it reads, your mind and produces whatever you want. And so Garfield he sits down upon it and things, of course, just start flying off. And we get the music by Lou Rawls and everything, the Gimme, Gimme, Gimme song. And which is a great song. I mean, I want this soundtrack. Like, I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking again today that this is really good music. There's I think one song in there I didn't care for, but it's just good. The traditional Christmas music they play in the background is, mm-hmm. is spot on. I mean, I still think probably, Charlie Brown has a better soundtrack, but
right,
this could hold up. This could hold up.
It's good. I mean, Lou Rawls is classic. Grandma's Jam later on. Yes. Her own Christmas tree jam. I love that one.
Oh, yeah.
Even the song that the whole family's singing during Grandma's, more retrospective or introspective, excuse me, moment. I mean, even that song is really nice. And I think I don't recall if they actually produced an album for it, but if they didn't, I think they really missed an opportunity there because some of these songs are really catchy.
Yeah. Yeah. On this one, it's fun. It really it sets the scene for what Garfield's going to be going through, his Linus moment, I guess, later on.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause at first it's all about the gimme, 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 what am I going to get?
Right.
But yeah, you're right. It really does kind of affect that because without this scene, I think we wouldn't have the starting point for where he is.
Right.
Anyway, so we realize it's just a dream. John informs him like, hey, we're going to go to grandma's house. And he's kind of upset. Like, why can't they come here? Every year it's over there. Why can't they come here where my warm, cozy bed is?
That's right.
It's just so Garfield.
Yeah, and only Garfield. I've never, ever expressed that before in my life.
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I swear.
I promise.
In case any of my family's listening.
Yeah, today's my day off. I get one day off a week during the season, because I work at a Christmas store. So it's definitely busy for us. And today's my day off. So they let me sleep in a little bit more. And, so instead of waking up at 5:45, I get to wake up at like 7.
Oh, nice.
a little bit later. Yeah. But, it's one of those where it's like my cozy bed and everything's nice and the house is cool. And I don't want to get up. And so I totally get Garfield's sentiment there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But then they're driving in the car, they're driving. And this is where we get another song. And I really like it because he's talking about how, Christmas is like a happy time and all these memories of him and Doc Boy, like decorating the tree and, the dad chopping down the tree and everything. And, the mom's cooking. And it's funny because this is, it's another song and there's like a back and forth, almost call and response kind of thing where, where one actually says something and then Garfield kind of intersperses and then John says something else, but then it reverses later on. So it's like in the second verse or so, then Garfield says it and then John's actually the one doing the response. And so I thought that was really cool. Just a little song there. And it again, every time I hear this song, it's one that I want them. I really do like these songs. They're good songs. And it's a shame that an album wasn't released.
Right. I just love when he says, I remember when my brother Doc Boy and I were little, and Garfield's like, oh, brother, here we go.
Yeah, because he knows what's coming.
I mean, it's classic again. When I was a kid, and my dad would be like, you know, I remember back when I was a kid, and you know, oh, shoot me now.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear another one.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's like, oh, stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's and the name of that song is "Can't Wait Till Christmas." And that one's sung by John and Garfield and Odie.
Odie barks a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. he gets his little he gets it in. One thing I thought was cool was that this whole thing about going back to the farm is actually semi autobiographical. So Grandma was kind of created for the special, but his little, you know, Davis, his real life brother was called Doc Boy, and it was kind of similar to the farm he grew up in, and he moved, you know, to the city, and so he was kind of teased for being a city boy as well. And so there's a lot of like his own real life in this special, and I think that's part of what makes it really hit home.
Yeah. I don't know a whole lot about Jim Davis actually, so that's interesting. But yeah, when you put elements of your own life into it, you know, it really can carry that heavier, the heavier impact, emotionally or for the story. You know, I'm thinking of you know, my favorite writer, Charles Dickens, and in his one novel on David Copperfield, it's, you know, they call it his most autobiographical novel because he put a lot of his own life into it, and you can really tell it just resonates. And, but yeah, I think I remember, you know, Jim Davis grew up on a farm or had you know, there's some similarities there. And, but yeah, like you said, you can see it. It's got the emotional weight to it.
Yeah, it really does. It hits home. And I think in just the right way, you know?
Yeah.
You know? So they get to the farm, and he comes inside carrying the presents, and his mom takes it. And I love the way they draw the mom. You know, she's got the eyes that are kind of closed, and every once in a while she opens them like in surprise or something. And it's just the little beady eyes, but something about it also feels really homey. And it's funny to me because everybody else has the big, you know, eyes like John.
Right.
And so I liked the dichotomy between, you know, between hers and between everybody else's.
Yeah. That's a detail I don't know if I caught. I like her eyes drawn, but yeah, everyone else has these huge, you know, Garfield eyes, we call them.
Yeah, exactly. The Garfield eyes.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'd love for her to greet me every day like that. I tell you what.
Right? For real. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mom right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he hangs his coat up, and she's, you know, just, oh, yeah. It's exactly every time I go home and visit my folks, because they live about 10 hours away. Mm. It's the same thing. You know, your mom just comes and hugs you and just makes it very special. So, again, something that really resonated, at least with me as an adult. I think as a kid, it definitely didn't have that impact on me.
Yeah. You know, as a kid, I'm there for the jokes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me those jokes.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's Garfield. Come on. Oh, man. So, yeah, you know, he's greeting everybody. He greets Doc Boy, who, of course, is like, don't call me Doc Boy. And then... Grandma right away mentioned something like, hey, what am I, chopped liver or something kind of like that. And so he goes to greet her, and he's like, how's my favorite girl? And of course that kind of makes her a little giddy. And right away you can tell she's a firecracker. She's got the, you know, the sweatshirt with the star on it.
Yeah.
Her pant legs are, you know, the bottoms are rolled up, and I mean, she's just feisty, and I love the grandma. Oh, yeah. I think in the whole thing, she's like my favorite character.
Yeah. You know, and she's feisty and all that, but then later you do see a serious emotional side to her. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we don't appreciate as kids probably, but looking back on it now, I think, you know, that's for a 20-minute special, 24 minutes, I mean, she's got a lot of depth to her that they're able to explore in just a very short time.
That's right. Yeah. And you're right. It's they somehow really pack her character. And that's a hard thing to do in just, like you said, in 24 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's a lot of specials that have tried and have failed. There's some specials that are an hour long and have failed. You know, they're all just one-dimensional characters. I mean,
yeah.
Look at The Goonies. The Goonies is one of my favorite movies. I love The Goonies, but they're all really just, I mean, caricatures of like kids. Mm-hmm. And grandma, I mean, she really has a complexity that you don't really quite see very often. And so it's really great writing, I think, that they were able to do that.
But. Yeah. I will say to my dying breath that he was robbed of his Emmy.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. And it's funny because he lost to a Claymation Christmas Celebration. And I love that one. I really do. I think, though, this is a much, much better special. But on the other hand, if we think about the animation, because it was the Emmy for what, Outstanding Animated Short, something like that?
Right. Yeah.
And if we think about, I mean, the Claymation one was so much more technical. The version that they showed didn't have some of those scenes, so it was a little more choppy. Also, the grandma scene, it didn't have the picture there to really hit home that, you know, her husband had passed away. So I get it, but I at the same time, yeah, I think
I don't like it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
I get it, but I don't like it. Yeah,
yeah, but. So Garfield and Odie are introduced to grandma, and right away you can tell grandma has a kind of takes a liking to Garfield. And but of course, who wouldn't? He's funny and he's cute.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, cuddly. I love cats, so what's not to like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But while they're doing that, John and Odie and Garfield, they go outside and they're like walking through the snow. What was I don't remember what the point of that was. Was it just like to hear, let's go see the farm kind of a thing?
Yeah. I think he mentioned they were going to go do chores or something.
Oh, okay.
You know, John's like, you know, this is the life. We're out doing chores. And then I think maybe in the comic book, there was those extended scenes or something. I'm not sure now.
Right. Yeah. That actually makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, my understanding was they were out to go do chores or just go out and see the farm.
Okay.
And Garfield's buried by the snow. You know,
that's another good bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is also when we get Grandma trying to spike the sausage gravy with chili powder.
Yeah. I had to ask if you've ever put chili powder in your sausage gravy. I don't think I ever have.
No, I never have, but I kind of want to now.
I know. Yeah. I want to try that. Well, she's really good.
I love it because she's kind of passive aggressive. She's like, oh, you know, who am I to tell you what to do? I'm only the winner of the county, you know, gravy contest.
I laugh, but living in a small town, that's believable that there is such a thing like a gravy competition. I mean, I buy it.
Yeah, I could see. Well, if Hallmark has taught me anything, is that there's usually some sort of small town competition. So.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just look for the people falling in love.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But she ends up spiking it anyway with the chili powder, and which Garfield later on manages to take a taste of. And then his head turns, or his face turns like bright red, and you know, the smoke and all that stuff that we normally see from cartoon characters when they've eaten something hot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that sounds like my kind of gravy.
Right. Yeah, me too. Exactly. Yeah. I really want to try it now. So next time, and I don't know. I don't even remember the last time we actually made it, honestly. I think it's going to have to be on my to-do list, but next time for sure.
There you go.
I'm going to add some chili powder, at least a teaspoon.
Yep. Can't hurt,
probably,
right?
A tablespoon.
Season the flavor.
There you go. Yeah.
Dump the whole thing in.
That's right. Yeah. And then Odie. At this time, is this when Odie goes to actually like explore, and he's like in the barn, I think, and he finds some stuff. So it's not when he puts it together.
Yeah, I believe so.
Finds,
yeah.
He starts finding some stuff in the barn.
Yeah. Yeah. He's kind of digging around and pulling stuff out. And I can remember watching it a couple years ago, and I hadn't seen it in long, long time. It, you know, there's this big gap, and I couldn't remember what Odie was doing. So I was like, oh, I know he's doing something. What is it? So I was kind of hooked on Odie's plot line through all of this. You know, what is he doing?
Odie is so funny because while he's really dumb, he's also kind of very intuitive. And so he's also, mm-hmm. There is an intelligence about him, but it's very different from Garfield's intelligence. And I think it really mirrors like a dog and a cat very, very well. like Jim Davis nailed it. Yeah,
definitely.
I think that's part of what makes Garfield so funny is that you can actually see like that interactions play out if you have like a dog and a cat together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is when we get to Christmas dinner.
Oh, I love this scene. It's good.
Yes, same here. It's so funny because they want Doc Boy to say grace, and he's like, I never know what to say. He's like trying to get out of it until the grandma, you know, like jabs him, and so finally he starts praying, and it's a normal, you know, it's a nice little short prayer, and then they're like, Amen, and they're about to eat, and then he gets up, he starts standing up. He stands up and he starts going on, and just as the rivers and the streams and
it's so good. Yeah, he's like, and as surely as the waters of the streams and the rivers of the sea or find the sea, let each of us find happiness and wisdom in this hour. and then grandma hits him again.
Yep.
Oh, thanks, Lord. Let's eat.
So funny. He just really gets on a roll there.
Yeah.
But it's quite a spread they have there. They have like a really nice like Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, you know, they have the turkey, but then there's all sorts of sides and there's like potatoes like five ways.
I mean, that was my grandma. I've talked about her mm-hmm. on my podcast before. Yeah. And yeah, and she would do that, you know. I would like some potatoes. Oh, I've got scalloped, you know, boiled, mashed, you know, all these kinds of potatoes and all these kinds of pies. Mm-hmm. And just the table would burst under the weight of it all, I'm mm-hmm. sure. So I really, again, as looking at this as an adult, I love this dinner scene because, you know, it's bringing back memories of when I was a kid. It's just really, really fun.
Yeah. And you're right. It's very nostalgic, but at the same time, it's also something that you like strive for, you know, where all the family's together mm-hmm. and it's just a nice meal. I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. It's just a nice meal. And we're all just wanting to have that togetherness and that love and everything that you think about when you think about the holidays. And so it's like a goal almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, they don't linger on it. They, to overdo it, you know, it's not over the top. It's short and sweet. And then you've got grandma feeding Garfield and Odie under the table. And in spite of all that, Garfield's like, I give it 2 stars.
Yeah. Well, he,
the decor.
Yeah. He took points off for the, cause they're under the table. Looking at everybody's legs.
Well, and then the dad's like, "Boy, grandma, you're really packing it away tonight." And she's like, "Well, I'm eating for two."
Yeah, and at first he kind of nods, and then his eyes they just get real big, and you know, because that's normally like, something someone, you know, a woman will say when she's pregnant, and so it
right.
At least that was what I took up from it.
yeah, me too. Yeah, I would always tease my wife about eating for
so
two.
Would I. Yeah,
she. Yeah, she never thought that was funny.
Never did either. Yeah, she just give me that look.
I still tell her. Yeah. Now I just say, I'm eating for two, so it's fine.
There you go. Yeah, it is a great bit in Garfield and Odie just there under the table. And then later on, as dinner's wrapping up and John's like, hey, don't you guys want some food? You know, he's like, hey, don't you guys want some food? And Garfield just kind of pats his stomach, which is now much, much bigger. He's like, no, I'm just watching my waistline.
You're watching it grow, I
That's
guess.
That's right.
I think it was huge.
Yeah, it's definitely a Garfieldism to feast and feast. And yes. So he did this episode, yes. Which I'm glad because, you know, it's Christmas time. So everybody needs to indulge a little bit, I suppose.
That's right. You've got 360 some odd days a year to diet. You can take one day off.
Yeah, might as well. That's, well, no.
I was gonna
tell a story about my mother-in-law, but no, I decided against it now.
Okay. Well, now I'm curious.
No, it's nothing bad. Just
okay.
But so after dinner, they decide to go trim the tree. I believe that's what's next.
Mm-hmm. And yes.
Which, yep. You know, yep. that's something else that always is very old-fashioned. The actually decorating the tree on Christmas Eve. You know, that's traditionally when it was done. And really, it's not until like the last, 30, 40 years that it's been more and more early. And
I think I remember, that was a tradition that might have started back in the Victorian age, where, they would have the dinner and then the kids would go into the mm-hmm. room and the tree would be decorated and there'd be presents on the
yes.
tree. Like little gifts and things. And so then it was like, while we were eating, Santa came or I don't know if they were quite into Santa yet, but there were the gifts on the tree itself. And then they'd go and run and find and look for that sort of thing. So it's interesting how much that tradition has shifted.
Well, yeah. I'm Catholic. And so the Christmas season for us doesn't start until Christmas Day, you know, which we count as sundown on Christmas Eve. And that's actually Christmas season. Mm-hmm. Everything before that is Advent. It's just getting ready for Christmas. And so at least traditionally for us, it wouldn't be until, you know, Christmas Eve that you would decorate the tree. And then I think it's really just commercialism that's kind of moved it forward and forward, you know, stores getting ready earlier and earlier so that people can get their mm-hmm. shopping done. And it just more and more, they kind of set it up as Christmas season happens like before Christmas and kind of ends on Christmas Day. And whereas for us, it's like, it's yeah. literally just starting and it, you know, it goes all the way. Really, the Christmas cycle ends on 40 days afterwards on Candlemas, February 2nd. And so it's just a little thing that I always find interesting that, you know, everybody's like, all right, that's, Christmas is over and they start taking the stuff down and put it on sale.
Yeah.
Whereas for us, it's like, no, Christmas is just beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it drives me crazy when, especially the radio station, like midnight, Christmas night, they switch back to the regular yeah. music and, oh, come on.
Yeah. Like at least go to New Year's or something.
right. It's not going to kill
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and maybe it's because they start so early right. now, they're getting tired of it.
Yeah. Well, now that I understand. I love working at the store, but they play the same six CDs. Over and over again. They're not, it's not even like digital anymore. It's still CDs and it's the same six over yeah. and over. And I love Christmas music, but when you hear the same versions all day, you know, 6 days a week for like 10 hours a day, it definitely, definitely gets to
you. Okay. We're done now. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, please just put it on Pandora or something, Spotify. I don't care, whatever, but
right.
But yeah, they're decorating their tree and they put the lights on and they're putting the tinsel. And I mean, it's really nice tree and it's nice and big. It looks, it's probably like a 9-foot tree, I think. And mm-hmm. they're trying to use Doc Boy as like a step stool. the dad's on him and just like pushing yeah. him up to try to get the star on. And I love it because he's like, why don't we put the star on first before we put the tree up? Which is such yeah. it's such a like practical dad thing to say, you know.
it really is. Yeah. And the mom's just like, well, no, it wouldn't be Christmas if we did
that's
it
right.
that way.
Which is also a very mom you know? Thing to say.
It is. And I mean, how many traditions we have that are dumb,
yeah.
But we can't
it, yeah.
make it smarter. We can't change that. That's sacred.
Exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
Star goes on last. That's exactly right. So they can't get it up. So they enlist Garfield to do it, which I always loved. And I think yes. he even has a great line, something like, never, you know, send a man to do a cat's job or something like
that. Right. Yeah. And he says, if I'm not back in an hour, send a banana cream pie after me,
yeah.
which was probably my favorite line, or at least my favorite joke. And even as I can remember as a kid, I would say that all the time. And as a teenager, you know, wherever I would be going, any time of the year, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to do this. If I'm not back in an hour, send a banana cream pie.
We should bring it back.
Definitely. Yep. Definitely.
So you heard that, guys. Everybody, let's make it a thing. When you're going somewhere, say, if I'm not back in an hour, send a banana cream pie after me.
That's right. We're gonna make a new trend for 2021.
There you go.
We're gonna bring some joy.
Oh, so he scampers up, and I love how he gets to the top, and he's all proud of himself, and then he looks down and sees how high up he is, and he gets scared for a bit, and then he manages to put the star on, but then falls straight down through the tree and takes, of course, some ornaments and lights and tinsel garland with him, but.
Yeah. Oh, boy, isn't that just the thing about decorating? You get everything done and then you find a problem.
Yeah, you're right.
Or your cat pulls it down.
Do you have a cat? Yeah.
Okay. No, we don't. No. I really want one, but my wife doesn't like cats, and her mom is deathly allergic to cats.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
And my sister actually is too, and I had one when we were mm-hmm. teenagers, but she developed an allergy and had such a severe asthma attack, it put her in the hospital. No. And I mean, the doctor basically said, you need to get rid of your cat or you're going to lose your sister. And I said, well, let me think about this. Let's not rush into decisions here.
Don't be rash here.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love my sister, but you know, this is my cat, but So We had a dog for a while, but we don't have any pets right now. We have teenagers.
Well, that's almost the same thing. We're almost, not quite there
they
yet.
Make a mess.
My oldest is 8, and I'm dreading that.
Cool.
I'm definitely dreading that. But we do have a cat, and we do have problems with her trying to eat the tree sometimes and bat the ornaments down and. So we haven't quite figured that one out yet, but we'll eventually settle on something. One time we even suggested, hey, let's put like a little cage around the tree. And of course my wife was like, you don't put a cage around a Christmas tree. I thought, yeah, okay, fine, you're right. But oof, the cat. But after they get the star on, that's when, is this when they decide to sing the Christmas songs, or is this?
Yeah, they sing the songs and then they read the story.
Right. Yeah. So this is when, they ask Doc Boy, and the dad says something like, I hope those 20 years of piano lessons are paid off, something like that. And so he finds his first note and then he starts singing and it's awful. He's like crazy off key and he's playing the chords, but he's missing notes in there too. And they're just, I mean, it's bad.
It is bad. Yeah, you wasted your money on that. Sir.
You're right. But the grandma like pushes him out, and then she does like this cool little, not bebop, but like a, I don't know, what's the?
I have no words for it myself.
So. Yeah, like just a jazzed up version of it.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. It was some kind of jazzy version. I'm sure my son could play it like that. He's pretty good.
Nice. So. Right on.
But I had to laugh at that part because we tell him that all the time when he goes to play something. You know, we're like, it's good to see all those years of piano lessons have paid off, and then he'll go up and start playing chopsticks or whatever. You know?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I play composer's piano, so I can literally just kind of plink out a few things here and there. But most of the time, that's about it. Yeah,
sure.
I do play guitar, but piano, that one's harder. My brothers are much better than I am at piano.
Nice.
So she does her little version, and then, John's like, well, Mom, why don't you play something? So she starts singing another song, which is Christmas in Your Heart. And that's a really good one. I like that one.
Yeah, I can remember thinking that this song is dumb and boring. And then just tonight I was watching it, and like, oh, man, this is really good. I mean, it fits the scene. Again, it doesn't go on. I think if it went on and on and on, it might get a little too sentimental or something. I don't know. But again, it leaves you wanting more.
Yeah.
But then they take the theme and they kind of weave in the theme and the music to the scenes and everything. And it's just really good. Well, really well
done. Yeah. Well, especially because it sags really nicely to Grandma rocking all by herself, by the window, picture of her husband. And Garfield, notices. And so he goes over and jumps in her lap. And, she says something like, how did you know that that's what I needed? And he's like, oh, I could kind of tell. And, she talks about her cats sitting in her lap. And I mean, he even has a line, something like, I envy those cats. And, but this is when she really, this is where it gets deep. Cause this is where she starts talking about her husband. And it's, they make it sound as if it's the first Christmas without him. I don't know if it is, but at least that's the impression I got.
Yeah. But honestly, you know, again, when I was younger, I would say, you know, maybe she just lost him. But now that I'm older and I know people in her position, I mean,
it could have been,
could be the 10th Christmas.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's just, it's that, that longing that really never goes away from what I've heard and learned.
Well, especially around the holidays.
That I could see that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's really hard for folks who have lost someone, around those special times of the year.
And it's, you know, she talks about how he was a good provider. And while they never had like a ton of money, they always had food on the table. And Christmas was like the one time, you know, the one day of the year where he could really kind of show emotion. Because, in that generation, I mean, this is 87. She's the grandma already. So, I mean, her generation, of course, that's when, you know, the man would get up and go to work and the woman would stay home and raise the kids. And generally they were much stricter and not quite as, you know, as affectionate as we are now. And so, you know, it's, you can picture it. She really paints a picture with all that and how, you know, he always made something special for the kids, which I thought was kind of cool that he made it. And it was the one day where he could really allow himself to just, I mean, you have to imagine him like holding his kids and saying Merry Christmas and maybe even I love you for like the one day of the year or something, you know?
Right.
But it's kind of just a nice melancholy, somber moment. And in the background, you can hear the people singing, which I thought was kind of neat the way they wove those two together.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, you know, this is reminding me of my grandparents and a little bit of even my parents, but, you know, my grandparents were from the World War II generation and, you know, both of them served, my grandma and grandpa both served in the Army during World War II. She was a nurse and I've talked about her, on my podcast. Right. But yeah, she was an Army nurse. She had a rank and everything and she was very proud of that. But, I'm losing my train of thought now. That's right. She would tell us, you know, when she grew up in the Depression, that even then there's always food on the table. You know, her parents worked very hard. They were, to provide food. And she said it might be, you know, potatoes. And then the next day we're having potatoes and then the next day it's potatoes again. But, they worked to provide us something to eat. And she just grew up with this spirit of gratitude for so many things. And it had a profound lesson in my life for sure.
That's amazing. Yeah. Which, you know, is something that we all could benefit from really that kind of spirit of gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
You wish that there were more specials that kind of would present that as well. You know, just being thankful for what you have and.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially this one, you know, with Garfield's whole attitude about presents and food and I'm being inconvenienced having to get out of bed to go see family and then realizing, boy, this is actually what really matters is family.
Right.
Yeah. Is, you know, spending that time with them and remembering them. You know, it's a really profound lesson they learn.
But then we get into another little seg here into John and Doc Boy wanting their dad to read Binky the Clown Saves Christmas or the Clown Who Saved Christmas, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's Binky the Clown Who Saved Christmas or something.
Yeah. And of course,
I love how.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I love how as the special progresses, like John and Doc Boy kind of regress back into childhood. I mean, they're losing it.
Yeah. Which is funny because you think about it and at least for me, I mean, I know my brothers and I kind of do that as well. When we go visit our parents, because we're there every other year for Christmas. So this year we'll be up here with my wife's folks. And then next year we'll be down there and my brothers will be there too. So we all kind of coordinate. And every time we're there, you know, it's almost like we're just the little boys again. And you know, my mom wants to take care of us. And so, It's there is something about being with your parents and all your nuclear family that you grew up with that kind of, at least for us, as all boys, makes us kind of do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've spent I've been married 20 years, and I think most of those 20 years we spend it with, yeah, it's awesome. Marry your best friend. It's that's the way to go.
Yep.
we would spend a lot of the Christmases with her parents. They live about 40, 45 minutes from us now. And, they were never that far away, right. But we would go and for Christmas, but then, her mom especially would tease me about being one of the kids and that possibly I was more excited for Christmas than the kids were. All that. So they had some fun at my expense, but
well, you know, that's, can't help it. That's what son-in-laws are for.
That's right.
But I love this part because the dad, you can tell he doesn't really like to read it. And the boys, they kind of tease him about it as well. You know, so he reads it and they're like, no, you got to say it with more feeling and, you know, more character. And so he really starts to get into it. And at the end, you know, they're like, well, I don't know. I thought for a while there, I thought he might not do it. He might not save Christmas. And
I was reminded again, that's another quote I've picked up into my daily lingo, or like when we watch a movie that we've seen a million times before, you know, I'll tell my kids or my wife, I thought, you know, boy, I wasn't so sure, you know, Frodo was going to get the ring in the fire that time, or, you know, I wasn't sure Scrooge was going to redeem himself this time, but oh boy, he pulled it out there.
Oh yeah. For a second there, I was worried.
That's right. Kids just roll their eyes. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. Yep.
Yep.
But so everybody goes to bed at this point, and this is when Garfield notices Odie kind of sneaking around, and so he follows him because he's really curious. And Odie heads to the barn, and while he's in the barn, that's when he sees him grab a bunch of random things and put them together. So it's like a little mini rake or something, and and like a pole. Yeah. I'm not even sure what, you know, all the items are. But he puts them all together and then, you know, puts like a bag over it. And that's like his, you know, the surprise thing. Yeah. You know, we're not supposed to know what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a little handheld rake thing. And I know there's a name for it, but I can't.
I do too. I can't think of it at all.
Think of it. Yeah. I've got one in my garage.
So do I. And I still don't know the name of it either.
I still call it the Garfield thing, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, we also get another funny bit where John and Doc Boy, like, you know, they kind of peek into their parents' room and you know, they're like, Dad, you awake? And so then they turn the light on. They're like, hey, Dad, you awake?
I am now. Like, yeah.
I am now. And they're like, we want to know if we can open presents. He's like, no, it's 1:30 a.m. Go to sleep. And I love it because they just kind of talk to each other. He's like, well, you know, technically it is Christmas morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I am glad we never let our kids do that.
No. Same here.
Yeah.
No, we mostly, when I was younger, I would get up at about 5, you know, in the morning and wake everybody up. And I'm sure my parents hated it, but, you know, we were so excited.
Yeah.
But I would never do it at 1 or 1:30. That's just.
No. There was one Christmas, when I was a teenager, we were in an apartment and we were woken up because the kids who lived next door came tearing down the stairs, yelling and screaming. And it must have been 4 or 5 in the morning. And I thought, are you serious? I need to go back, go to sleep. And by the time we got up, I mean, you know, back then maybe our perspective was a little different, but you know, it was 7 or 8 and we're like, well, Christmas for them is over already. You know, got up so early. I know Christmas is more than presents, so don't write me angry letters, anyone, but
no one would ever write you angry letters, Art.
Put that pen down.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I understand that, because I mean, part of the reason we would get up so early is because we would have to drive an hour to go see my grandma, and then we would stay there for most of the day and then come back. So if we wanted any time like playing with our presents, our new stuff, then we had to be up early, because we were on the road for sure by like nine.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I get some of that now too. Yeah. It's just I want to sleep in on Christmas morning.
I mean, I know, yeah. Yeah.
And I think my teenage boys are on board with that idea, but my daughter Gracie, she's still, you know, I can't sleep, Dad, I can't sleep. And
yeah.
It's great though.
I think the latest we've ever slept, most of my kids are, it takes them a long time on Christmas Eve to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And I was the same way. It would take me a while to.
Yeah.
But whereas I was so excited, I would wake up at like, you know, 4:30 or 5. They have at this point been up so long that they usually sleep till about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's another thing that I kind of get. But at the same time, it's like, I'm usually the first one up Christmas morning, because I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah. We tell them that they have to at least give us time to go get the coffee started. So
yeah,
we can get our coffee first, and then, you know, we'll release the Kraken, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I got to find a way to work that into a Christmas episode. I love Clash of the Titans so much. If I, maybe someone got it for Christmas. I don't know. I'll figure that out. But
okay.
But so they wake up the next morning, and I love it, because the dad's like, well, what do you want to do? Open presents, eat, or do chores first?
Such a dad thing. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And of course they're like, presents. And
at this point they've regressed back to 5-year-olds now. They're gone.
Yeah. They're pretty no much adults.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. It's that, you know, like, it reminds them of childhood.
That's right.
I guess. And so then Garfield, one thing I did kind of skip is, while he was watching Odie do his thing, he accidentally knocked over a box and discovered some letters. Although we don't know what the letters are at this point, you know. So now it's Christmas morning, and you know, Garfield, he hands those letters to Grandma. Like she finds the letters, and mm-hmm. it's like old love letters from her late husband. And so she's like moved, and of course she starts like laughing and things like that. And mm-hmm. the family's like, "What do they say?" And she's like, "Oh,
I'm a not lady." Telling. Yeah, what is it? A lady never talks about her love life or something.
That's right, like something that. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man! And she's like, "I don't know where you found these, but you know, thank you. It's like the best gift." And
yeah.
So again, it's like, it's funny, but then it hits like that emotional note, just to really drive home the feeling, that the nostalgia, the love. And then Odie gives Garfield the back scratcher. It's mm-hmm. we figure out at this point that now what he had actually built with those random materials was like a back scratcher mm-hmm. for Garfield. Mm-hmm. And so Garfield tries it, and he's like just thrilled. It's like one of the greatest gifts. And he even has like his own little emotional moment there, where, yeah. you know, he kind of just says the special line, which I think, at least for me, it's like it encapsulates everything, where he says, you know, it's not the giving, it's not the getting, it's the loving.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you think about it and you're like, wow, that's true. That's a good point. And if we reflected a lot on just, you know, loving our family and being better to them. And I mean, we could really change the world if mm-hmm. we're all just.
Yeah. And I mean, not even just our family, but you know, our neighbor, each other.
Fellow man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's this, well, I don't know how to say this, but you know, we have experienced someone loving us before. Hopefully.
Right.
You know, we learn from those good examples, and to take what we've learned, how other people have loved us, and then show that love towards others. It's such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting that what Garfield says there, that it's not even the giving. You know, you hear that a lot. It's at right. Christmas, you know, it's not about getting, it's about giving. Or
right.
you know, it's, and you know, I think that has a good point, but he really takes it I guess, deeper, and it's
to the next level.
Yeah. It's not even about giving, you know, you might not be able to give something, or you might be able to give something that you just cobbled together with old farm tools and, you know, give your, yeah. give your cat tetanus or something. It's that loving, that act of those acts of love that we are capable of and that I think we really need right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, I mean, I think this year has just been so crazy that everything, I mean, any little chance we get to celebrate that kind of thing, that kind of loving and helping of our fellow man and embracing each other, I mean, take it, you know, if you can get a chance, take it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's the special there. One thing I really enjoyed was that they would play in the score. So not just the musical numbers, not the songs, but the score itself. They would use Christmas songs. So like Jingle Bells, Deck the Halls, I think Good King Wenceslas was one of them. And it was just, you know, peppered throughout, just little bits used as segue and background music, things like that. And I always like when Christmas movies and specials do that because it really does hit home, you know, that it's Christmassy.
Yeah. It can really help set the scene.
Exactly. Yeah. And who doesn't feel good whenever they hear a good Christmas specials, you know, or good Christmas song, you know?
That's right.
So, I mean, now after talking about it, I mean, I got to ask, what would you say is your happiest memory or moment with the special?
Now, is this like from the special or watching it or an experience?
Either one, whatever, either your memory or a moment in it. I mean, whichever one you want to do.
I mean, as far as moment watching it, probably a few years back when I came across the DVD set of, I think I had Garfield's Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas special. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen it in ages. So my kids were right about the good age for it. And so I got to watch it with them for the first time. And that was a lot of fun. Just remembering, I mean, it had been, 20 years or so since I had seen it last. But yeah, it was like, oh man, I forgot how good this was. This is great. And of course I love what grandma says, you know, again, about her, you know, we've talked about the quote when she was talking about her husband and that he always pretended not to be excited on Christmas morning, but his eyes gave him away. And I think it was his favorite day of the year. And, you know, this is the time I miss him the most, you know, it's, now as an adult watching that, I'm just like, yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, and that's really good for me. I think I remember watching this when it first came out because I remember watching the claymation one when it first came out. So, and I know this was before it. So it was this one and then it was claymation right afterwards. And so I remember watching that. And then I lost track of it for years. So my happiest memory was actually when I rediscovered it a couple of years ago. And same thing, I watched it with my daughters. I mean, it's similar to yours, but at the time I only watched it with my daughter because she was the only one. And, you know, she was young and she liked a funny cat, but, you know, she didn't get it. But I was just there, you know, like trying not to cry.
A little manly tear run down my cheek.
Yeah, a little bit. And just, you know, she would laugh when Odie was up to something and that's about it. But I was just watching her reaction was one of the greatest things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. But that does bring me to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the show. Not necessarily a part we hate, just something that that we didn't like maybe as much as everything else. And so we'll put it up to the listeners, and then the winner will get a totally red Christmas sticker, unless I win, in which I get nothing. But so far, I have yet to win, so I think you're okay.
All right.
So as a guest, I'll let you go first, just kind of set up the scene for us.
All right. This is really difficult because, I mean, how do you find something wrong with perfection, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I'm going to say it's at the beginning of the special where John's trying to get Garfield out of bed, and he has this quote where he's complaining about getting out of bed. And, you know, I think the reason, I mean, I like it, but, you know, if I had to say a part I didn't like, it's because we see Garfield really in all of his ugly selfishness there. And you're just right. Confronted with it. But I don't know if I do a good Garfield impersonation, but here goes.
I'm sure it's better than mine. So.
Okay. He says, why is it every Christmas I get drug out of my warm bed just to see some stupid old relatives? And why is it we always have to go to that stupid old farm? Why can't they come here with my where my warm bed is? And why am I whispering?
It's good.
Although I wasn't really whispering. But.
No, that was good. Mine is also Garfield. It's from when he puts up the star and he's just fallen. And the reason I chose this was because it's just I don't like his sentiment here. The line, I don't like it. It's like, no, don't think this way. And so he says, he's just fallen through the tree and he goes, whoever invented Christmas trees should be dragged out onto the street and shot. This terrible Garfield. but I'll leave it up to you listeners to decide which Garfield was better. And I'm pretty sure it's not going to be me because that was a terrible, I didn't do it very well.
For everyone who votes for me, I'll give you a free sticker.
Oh, there you go.
You didn't hear me say that.
Uh-oh.
This election is rigged, I tell you.
there you go. But I do have to ask, you know, G.I. Joe, they taught us that knowing is half the battle. What do you think the other half is?
Well, the other half is letting the Green County gravy champion have her way in the kitchen.
Basically, you
don't mess with grandma.
No, you don't. You don't. That's very true. That's a good one. That's better than mine. Mine was, if no one's half the battle, the other half is using lasagnas to get your cat to do what you want.
Hey, that would work for me.
It would work for me too. Yeah,
I'd do a lot for a lasagna.
Yeah, we hadn't had it in a couple of months, and then we made one last week, and man, it was good. It was one of those where I hadn't had it in so long. It just, even if it was terrible, it would have been good.
Yeah.
So, oh yeah.
Man, you can't go wrong with that much cheese on something. I mean,
that's true. Yeah.
This one's really good.
We put some pepperonis in it as well. And so it added a little extra something to it. It was nice. I liked it.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I've had it with pepperoni and that's really good.
Art, it's been so much fun talking with you. Thanks for coming on.
Well, definitely. Yeah. Thanks for giving me the best Christmas special ever. So
you're right on. Anytime. What do you want to plug?
Well, I do have a podcast started up about end of July or so. Cozy Christmas Podcast. And I like to celebrate what I find cozy about Christmas, which is usually involves me reading something. So I'm a huge bookworm. I love to read. I love to read the Christmas stories and all that. But in my podcast, I'll read a story. My daughter Grace and I try different things out. We try out snacks we've made, or I think I have one coming out soon. Or maybe I just released it now, but we were just talking about Christmas memories and stuff, and that was a lot of fun. I've started interviewing people. I've got an episode dropping tomorrow. It's like an hour and a half long. I interviewed three different people, and I don't know. It's getting a little addicting.
Yes.
But, you know, we're just talking about Christmas and sharing our memories, and that's you know, one of the things about the special and that I like to do in my podcast is talk to people about their Christmas memories. And I just how important that is to make sure those stories continue on and that people know your story and, you know the stories from where you came from and, that you pass that on to the next generation. So we throw some of that in too. Kind of a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get, I guess, or a box of chocolates there from episode to episode. But I've been having a blast doing it and trying out different things. And, you know, it's been fun. So definitely, if you want some more Christmas podcast goodness, you can check out my, let's see, if you go to cozychristmaspod.com, it'll take you to my, to the Libsyn page where that hosts my podcast. And that's kind of the main page for it right now. So I might get a actual website set up here one of these days, but I'm learning everything from scratch. So this takes a while.
I know how that goes. I actually have a domain and I haven't done anything with it. So
yeah,
it's one of those, just time keeps getting away from me, but where can they find you? Like,
let's see, you can go there, but to find me on like social media, I'm on Twitter. I should know this by now. I think it's Cozy Xmas Pod. Or you can look up my name, Art Kilmer, I'm Art, the bookworm, I think, on Twitter. You can look at, Cozy Christmas on Facebook and on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. So I think those are the only three right now.
So. Right on. Well, that's, yeah, right on. That's where I am too.
Yep. Well, I'm also on the, My Merry Christmas website. I'm a member there, and I post a lot of things in the forums and stuff. And
oh, nice!
My podcast has a page on the forums that the new episodes get loaded on automatically. So I've had some discussion with people over there too, so they can
that's cool.
Find me there. Yeah, yeah. That's my next episode. I'm talking to about three different people I've met through the forums, and we just talk Christmas and some of the stuff they do. So it's a lot of fun.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out. It's so cool. I love the ones when he's with his daughter trying out like Kit Kats and things like that. And
oh man, we recorded one. She made me buy this, Bean Boozled game. I don't know if you know what that is. It's these disgusting tasting jelly beans, and you spin a dial it'll land on like Tutti Frutti or Rotten Socks. And they're both the same color, and you don't know which one you're going to get.
Oh no.
There's like earwax flavor, you know, vomit flavor. It's nasty. And so we tried to record that for the podcast, and I kept getting all the disgusting ones, and I was almost ready to lose my lunch. Like, Gracie, I don't know if I can do this. You're like, it's so funny though, your face.
Oh man, I don't think I want to play that game.
No. So I don't know if I'm going to actually air that episode, because I make some gagging noises. But I do love having her on. I refer to her as the more popular of the two hosts. So
there you go.
But just doing something fun with my daughter like that. It's a lot of fun. So
right on. Well, yeah. Thanks again for coming on, and guys, definitely check out his podcast at A Cozy Christmas. And I think, and I'm going to end it by saying, all right, you guys, just permit me one sentimental moment here. I have something to say. Christmas. It's not the giving, it's not the getting, it's the loving. There, I said it. Now check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like John and Doc Boy at 1:30 a.m. Christmas morning, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
My name is Art, and I'm the host of the new podcast, A Cozy Christmas. Join me and my daughter Grace as we bring you all the cozy feelings that Christmas has to offer. In the podcast, I read some of my favorite Christmas stories and poems, I share some memories of Christmas past, and I talk about my thoughts on Christmas. I also have an unhealthy addiction to Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol. You can find me on cozychristmaspod.com, and you can find all my social media links there. So stop on over and we'll have some fun together. As the man Charles Dickens himself said, there's nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor. And that's the spirit of Christmas that we try to bring to you throughout the year. From all of us here at the Cozy Christmas family, we hope that you have a very Merry Christmas.